Okay, so it's been a pretty big week. I mean, we were going, we kick off with games and icebreakers and stuff like that, but why can't we be topical for once? So, real quick, Snapchat, well, Snap thoughts on the reveal of PlayStation Pro, PlayStation Sim, and Super Mario Run for iOS devices.
Well, PS4 Pro, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really that impressed just in general by anything that Sony's been doing lately. But, maybe I'm being harsh. I also don't care, but the fact that there's going to be a firmware, some sort of update for the PS4 that I have that allows it to be HDR, then I just don't know what the point is of me spending $400 on another one.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm kind of curious because I asked this. I've actually asked this on Facebook and I've had a lot of discussion. Do you know what HDR is?
Know what it
What it
stands for?
stands for? Yeah.
High dynamic range.
Okay, but do you know? Okay, because I'm asking because I'm like, it's one of those things which is like, oh man, everybody's getting
mean, he did.
HDR support, and I'm like, what is HDR support? Like, was anybody? Like, I'm sure people were asking for it, but is it a selling point to normal people?
I think you get better colors, is apparently. I didn't know you could just patch it in. I thought it was something that like came on, newer TVs.
Well, you
I'm
can.
not sure how the whole patching thing works,
Well,
because
apparently,
like
it's weird because I guess it's the type of HDMI it uses. People thought that the PlayStation used like a 1.4. I think you need like a 2.0 to get HDR support. Okay, this is just a bunch of jargon, and this kind of goes to the heart of my problem with the PlayStation Pro reveal. It was extremely boring. It didn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think part of it was we knew everything that they were going to say in terms of the actual console. Like, we had the leaks had come out from Kotaku and all the other places and Vice. And, I think what people were expecting was this, brand new games to like show off, like real brand new game announcements. They showed a few games that are 2017. And a lot of games that are like 2014, like Shadow of Mordor,
Oh
and
gosh.
it was a very bizarre event. Like, there was no reason to televise that, because it didn't play well. It, compared to their E3, it was completely, totally different. And yeah, it's, I mean, if you don't have a 4K TV, you really shouldn't buy it.
Which
Like, that's just the end of the day, how it.
was actually one of the jar of hearts because like I assume, like me, you all watch it via stream, and the streams don't support 4K. That's just gonna be your bandwidth cut no matter what. So they're like, oh, we're gonna release these videos afterwards. And like, so I'm sitting here watching a stream of you revealing this console that I can't actually see the new features of because nothing I have supports it. And even when I went home, like I don't have anything that supports 4K. So I'm like, you've done a terrific job of unselling me. Like, if I got a PlayStation 4, I'd get this just because, future-proofing. But, like, is it something, like, if you have a PS4, is it worth upgrading for people?
No, like I'm someone who has a PS4 and a gaming PC. I cater my game buying to what I think, what I'm looking for. Am I looking for multiplayer? I'd probably get on the PS4, and then I don't really care necessarily what it looks like. I'm playing that for the multiplayer experience because I have a lot of friends who have a PS4. If I'm like looking for a single player game that I kind of care more about how it looks like, I'm going to get on my gaming PC. So, for people like me, I don't know what kind of demographic I'm in, but like I bought Fallout 4 and Skyrim on the PC because I cared about more what it looked like. But I'm going to buy Battlefield 1 on the PS4 because I have a lot of friends who play that. That's why like the PS4 Pro has absolutely like zero interest in me,
And
because
even with some of that
what's
stuff,
the point?
some of the perks, it's like one of the things they said is like for games, because you have to kind of keep it uniform, like a lot of online games can't really support it because you can't have like people on the Pro having like 60 frames per second and the people underneath having 30 frames. Or it can't be smoother just because it unbalanced the game for a lot of people. So there's a lot of features. that are kind of novel, but it won't necessarily have like this broad appeal. And like Dan was saying, it's weird to kind of showcase it and not have like that big game. Like this is okay. Like this, is, like, you know, they had Mass Effect, I guess, which is a new game, but most of that stuff was like, hey, remember Uncharted 4 from earlier this year? Now I get Uncharted 4 in 4K, and it's like,
yeah,
yay.
Mm-hmm. I do not understand in any way the business side of why they're doing it, like the consumer side. Like they are, in terms of market share, they're crushing Xbox right now worldwide, and the way that you maintain that lead is by keeping costs down, not by bringing in another SKU that's like high end. And then on top of that, Microsoft's coming in next year with an even higher end, so you can't even say, oh yeah, we have the high end. What are, is Sony next year going to announce a Pro Plus? I mean, like,
yeah,
the Pro compared to the Scorpio is going to look, I mean, I don't think that, you know, this whole like in cycle upgrading the console's hardware is a good idea in the first place, but if you're going to do it, then you have to make it significant so that you can sell people on why you're, why it's better.
Yeah, but
yeah.
The problem with that though is like you hit a point where it's like how much better can you make it without pissing off the current fan base, because there are 40 million people who have PlayStation 4s right now, and you can't unsell them on that. You can't be like, oh, your system.
Well, that even yeah, that's why I don't think it makes sense to do it in the first place, because you're already in the lead. There's no reason to shake it up and introduce the confusion into the marketplace.
Yeah, the half step, like when I heard like a year or so ago or whenever I heard that they were doing like a half step console, I was like, eh, if it was something like the PlayStation 2 Slim or the PS3 Slim when they just made it smaller, yeah, I can accept that, you know, because it's more of an aesthetic and how much space it takes up. But I hope, even though it's a stupid reason, that Sony's real only reason for trying to push a half step is to compete with Microsoft's half step, which is their S, the Xbox One S.
The Neo, or the Pro as it's now known, was actually kind of rumored before the Scorpio was rumored.
Which makes it even worse, in my opinion, because I think that Microsoft actually kind of needs this half step to try to, because, you know, like how poor their launch was for the Xbox One.
And unbundling the Kinect and stuff like that. They kind of needed a reboot, a refresh. And to your point, the point you were making, it's like just to kind of add to that market confusion, they also announced a PlayStation 4 Sim, which is out next week.
So if they had just announced the Slim, you know, I think everything would be fine. Like, they wouldn't have as much, I don't know, rumors and hype, I guess. But, like, market share-wise, like, you introduce the new, you know, the new one. You can sell the old PS4s for super cheap, bring in the Slims at 300, start bringing them down to 200. I don't mind the Slim. Like, I think that's a good idea. They've always done that with the PS1, the PS2, PS3. My problem is really with the Pro. So it is weird to do it at the same like event and have it like, I really thought they were going to delay the
same thing.
Sure. But I thought they would delay the Pro until like spring and try to bump the specs a little bit to compete more, but they didn't want to do that. I guess
you don't know who did it worse, because Microsoft's like, here's a new console. Here's a better console that you can get next year. Sony's like, here's a smaller version, or here's a better version you can get in 2 months.
And something we talked about, like, on Twitter is, and I think is maybe the real reason they're doing a PS Pro, is because of VR. And they didn't sell me on why, like, if they would have given me a really good reason and said, this is why you want a PS Pro when you get VR, then, like, it would make it amazing. It's so good. But, like, they didn't try to sell that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me almost want to cancel my PSVR pre-order. I haven't done it yet, but I'm thinking about it. Because I really enjoyed, I played it, I used it at PSX, at the PlayStation Experience, and it was really, really good. Like, the graphics weren't great, but the in terms of like head movement and in terms of frame rate, everything was really good. So I was hoping they would come out and say, hey, we know we heard your, you know, the your concerns about the frame, you know, the graphics, graphical capabilities in PSVR, and we've, you know, with this new system, it really allows us to do the graphics you're used to in VR. But they didn't say that at all. So
yeah, it's very weird. I mean, especially being that the PlayStation VR thing comes out next month, and they really have not kind of been pushing that the last few months, really, since E3. It's been quiet on that front. But with that said, this is not a gaming podcast, and this will do it. I guess next time we'll speak about Mario and iOS. But yeah, there's a lot to decipher.
It'll make a lot of money.
There's a lot to decipher with those announcements. With that said, Let's hit the theme music. And welcome to the first episode of The Amazingly Average Show. I am joined this week by Scott.
Hello!
And I guess technically he gets an upgrade now because he is the first Dan on The Amazingly Average Show.
So, Dan the first.
I don't know about Dan the first, but we do have Dan.
I'll call you Dan the first.
I'll take it. Hello, everybody.
So, yes, this is our first episode, reboot, refresh, whatever you want to call it, and we are doing a old favorite to kick us off. It is September 8th as of this recording, which means we're roughly about a week away from fall TV shows kicking into high fashion. And this year, instead of running through like 60 shows, we just picked a few that we've each picked ones that we think are going to do well. We pick ones that we think are going to do awful, and we pick ones that we are really looking forward to. That does not mean that they can't all be the same show. Well, okay, you can't. The show you expect to do well and the show you expect to be terrible can't be the same. But the show you expect to do terrible could also be the show you're most looking forward to.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully not, but
To kind of give you an example of that, a show that I'm looking forward to, it's probably not my most anticipated show of this year. But Son of Zorn, I think Son of Zorn looks very funny, it's very different. And because it looks different, and because I don't necessarily know who the audience for that show is, I don't see it doing very well. For those who don't know what Son of Zorn is, it's a live-action animation mashup. It kind of stars like an 80s action hero, like He-Man or Conan. And he's animated, and he has an actual family. Who kind of live in the suburbs, and it's about him kind of coming back into their life and trying to adjust to life as a suburban dad. So, it has that
it's the most unique show for sure. It's
a very unique show. It has that very 80s kind of aesthetic with the hero design set in like this modern family-esque sitcom, and I'm like, I don't necessarily know who.
Kind of like what the Muppets tried to do.
Yeah, but
even a little bit.
Yeah, but even then, the Muppets had coach like this. Like, if this was He-Man or Conan, I think you'd probably have an easier sell because people know who they are. Zorn is an original character. He just looks like these 80 action heroes, these big beefcakes.
And it couldn't have cost that much to get the He-Man license, right? Maybe they should have tried to do that.
I mean, it can't be.
Maybe right. They did.
There's been a lot of talk on the internet about a new He-Man movie or something going on, so
at this point, probably. I mean, they're trying to remake 80s nostalgia like nobody's business. But yeah, it also has a very decent cast. Jason Sudeikis is Zorn. Tim Meadows is Zorn's ex-wife's current husband. Then there's his ex-wife and his son. So it's from Lord and Miller, the Lego people, the 21 and 22 Jump Street folks. I also think they did Last Man on Earth. So, you know, they have...
Still haven't watched that.
I'm not a huge fan of it, especially being that he turns out not to be like the Last Man on Earth like, within like the first two episodes. Actually, the first episode.
Great. spoilers.
They have, you know, they have amazing, amazing comedic background. Cardi with a Chance of Meatballs. So, yeah, like, you know, like, they've just kind of, you know, it's been home run after home run for them. Well, I should say, not, you know, they've done Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but they were also responsible for Cone High, which lasted a season on MTV. And I think this is kind of, I think this is what it has most in common with this Cone High, which is a show before its time. That is, a show I'm looking forward to, but I also think it's not going to do well at all. Let's head over to Scott. What do you have for us?
Okay, well, I have to say, one show that I'm looking forward to, and there's really not too much rhyme or reason behind it besides the obvious, and I'm looking forward to kind of just watching Chance, which stars Hugh Laurie. And I loved House. I love House still. And I don't care that he's not playing House. I'll still watch it and hope it does well. I mean, you know, it sounds like it could be decent. Question mark?
What type of acting is he putting on?
I don't know what he's going for with this. But I know that in the pictures that I've seen, he looks just like a house that's gone, like, even, like, more given up. Like, he cares house even two. Less. Yeah, like, House 2, The Revenge of House. That's what it looks like, in still pictures. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because it's also a TV show that's based off of a book, or books, I should say. And I feel like TV shows based off of books have more of a chance to be more accurate to whatever books they're based off of because they have more time. Of course, I haven't read the books, so that doesn't mean anything to me. So there's
that's
that.
Great, that's a great selling point right now. I've not read the books. But I'm assuming it's a great adaptation. Who knows?
Well, no. I said they have a better chance at being a good adaptation. You know, because a lot is lost in the translation from
but
book
you
to movie.
Know that if you've never read the books.
I didn't read this book. Okay, and I could go on and on about things that I actually don't know, but moving on to more things that I actually don't know, a show that I don't think is going to necessarily do that well is Conviction, and I'm basing this all on the picture on Rotten Tomatoes. So this is, I'll read the premise, it's a legal procedural that stars Haley Atwell as the head of the Conviction Integrity Unit. Blah, 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 blah.
That way you went really far reading the description.
Yeah. Right off the bat, I'm just looking at Haley Atwell, and it looks like she kind of regrets Agent Carter. And well, coincidentally...
She can't regret Agent Carter. That put her on the map. Like, honestly speaking, what else do you know her as?
She was in that Pillars of the Earth show, but no one watched that except for me.
Well, it looks like something happened in Agent Carter, and she's not happy about it, and it's being repeated in Conviction. I also think it's kind of funny that Iceman, or the actor who plays Iceman, is in this.
Now, just to be sure, is it Iceman or is it his brother?
I don't know.
They're twins.
I have to look at the IMDb.
I think they're twins because, yeah, like, one paid Iceman and one paid Jimmy Olsen on Smallville.
Well, either way, they both look like they have.
Which one was in Quantum Break?
I think it was Iceman who's in Quantum. It gets really weird to say because they're twins in the area, but there are two different people.
Well, for all intents and purposes, they're the same person for me.
This is Iceman.
He looks like he really hates Haley Atwell because she's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and he's not. And
he got some of the best Marvel movies to date. He was part of X2.
He was also part of X3 though.
He was part of Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's wins and there's losses.
And he wasn't involved in Apocalypse, so.
That's true.
And he did not die off screen, Captain America. So
that's also true. But yeah, Beth from Walking Dead looks like a 12-year-old in a pantsuit, which is okay. I just don't know what her role's going to be. And guy with untucked shirt and tie loosened up really bothers me. He looks like he didn't know that they were, you know, going to be shooting the pictures for the promo shots for this TV show and just kind of assumed it was going to last one season anyway. Probably. So,
I mean, just to give you a bit more about this, if I remember the trailer correctly, I believe that Haley Atwell plays like a party girl who gets arrested and her penance is to join this law firm and be serious about it. It's a very weird premise.
Yeah. You see, right off the bat, I don't think it's going to do well.
See, I tend to agree with you, but I also look at this and I'm like, okay, it's on 10 p.m. on ABC. This is like one of those shows that like, your mom would watch and love. Not like your mom.
No, my mom would love this.
But yeah, it seems like that type of show where like we won't watch it. Like it has no interest to us. But like that older generation who kind of loves these shows, and even as Agent Carter, Haley Atwell just oozes charisma. She's very fast talking and charming, and I think if she brings that, it has potential. But I just feel like it's one of those shows that's going to do well, just not well with the demographic you would expect from a normal TV show.
That's fair.
PBS, I should say.
Yeah, because the show, I don't know. I don't really particularly like when new police procedurals or when new law procedurals come out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, just bring back Law and Order.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback, I also had this on my list of shows that I didn't think would do well, which is why. But I have a giant question mark next to it just because I do see like it can have that disconnect where it won't really resonate with people like us, but there might be an audience who gravitates towards it depending on how well ABC markets it. Okay, what do you have for us, Dan?
Okay, so I have three time travel shows.
Oh, okay, thank
so,
you.
Oh, good.
Let's see, I'm gonna put them in each one in each of the categories. So the one I'm looking forward to is Timeless, which looks fairly generic. It's about somebody who goes back in time and they need is trying to disrupt the timeline, so these sort of FBI agent people have to go back and stop him. You know, that's not the most unique, sort of setting for a movie or a show.
I think he's trying to redo the blackest in time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a sucker. So to say this, I'm a sucker for anything time travel. So that's, but the trailer actually did look pretty good. And they've, you know, not the most original also, but they're doing the whole black guy in any, you know, he's like, I can't go back in time at any point. Like any time in the past is bad for me. And he's funny. He's been on a few shows. You know, it's interesting that there seems to be some sort of secret agenda going on. Like the bad guy seems to have a notebook with the main protagonist's writings in it from the future. Like, her in the future, so like maybe he's doing what she is telling him to do, and like he's asking her like, why were you picked? So, you know, it could be horrible, but based on all the trailers I saw, it was the show I'm most looking forward to on broadcast television, which isn't saying a lot. So moving on, so I think let's see, okay, I think Frequency is gonna bomb. So Frequency is on the CW, which is actually, you know, has done really, really well the last couple years, right?
I feel like it's a mishmash for that network.
Yeah, it's a little bit
it's very high concept.
Yeah, it's not really their wheelhouse of what's been doing well. You know, it's not really Supernatural, it's not The Flash, it's not Arrow. It's about about our age person, 28, 29 person who finds a ham radio, which can communicate with her father from 20 years ago. It's kind of like, what was that movie with, there was a movie that's similar plot.
Well, there's an actual movie for this. There's a movie called
Frequency. Yeah, like Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, Yes.
Was it called Frequency?
Yeah, this is based. This is okay. I think it's based off of a book or something like that.
The premise on Rotten Tomatoes says based on the 2000 feature film of the same name.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so I feel stupid. But yeah, it felt a lot like that because it's based on that.
Yeah.
But
womp womp.
You know, it has the girl from. She was on The Flash as Golden Glider. She was on Mad Men. She's been on The Tomorrow People. So she's bounced around. I like her. It's got the main actor who plays her dad has been on a number of different things, never been a huge star. It seems to be going more for the butterfly effects aspect of time travel rather than like going back in time. So like they're going to change stuff in the past and then see what effects it has.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't see it aligning with CW, and CW already has pretty low viewership and they have a lot of shows, so yeah, I think it might get dropped.
That's the big thing with CW this year, is they have a lot of shows and not enough room because they don't add anything to their schedule. They have like 10 hours and half of that's taken up by DC at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which is awesome. I love it. And then finally, I'm cautious, very cautious about this, but I'll put it in breakout hits, is the third time travel show, which is called Making History, which is also produced by Lord and Miller. So I don't know. They're doing a lot. They seem to be, you know, involved in a lot of projects. It's about a guy who can't get a girlfriend in 2016. So he goes back to 1775 to get a girlfriend, and he doesn't know anything about history, so he's like screwing stuff up. So he invites his black friend, who is a history teacher, to come back with him and like fix the American Revolution. And you know, it looks cute, and you know, maybe it'll be a hit. I mean, it's not the unfunniest thing I've ever seen, but it's also not like hilarious. But there aren't a lot of comedies. So I, you know, maybe people will be in the mood for a comedy, and it's different. So I think it might break out.
Okay, just as an aside, I guess because it's not a fall show, there's actually a fourth time travel show.
Oh wow! Okay, tell me about it.
Called Time After Time, and it's H.G. Wells and Jack the Ripper were best friends, I guess, and Jack the Ripper steals H.G. Wells' time machine and jumps forward to the future. So now it's like H.G. Wells and somebody else chasing Jack the Ripper in like current day London, I think. So yes, there are four time travel shows premiering this season.
Well, that would explain the disappearance of Jack the Ripper, theoretically. Because he went into the future.
Yeah, well, he could be out there right now. He could be knocking on your door.
Oh, I hope not.
But yes, I think almost every network has one. I think the last comedy is on Fox, I think. CW has Frequency. NBC has Time Is, and ABC has Time After Time. So I think CBS is the only one who hasn't had one so far.
Yeah.
They got time. No pun intended.
They can go back in time and make it time.
Just a quick aside. Oh, I guess we'll talk about this in a second. I was going to say, as a quick aside, there's actually no real comic book shows coming out this year in comparison to the previous 2 years where we just had a ton of them. We do have two, and I'm sure they're both on your list. Netflix is very hard to judge because we already know Luke Cage is going to continue existing. If nothing else, he'll be on Defenders. So it's hard to say, is Luke Cage going to...
Did you say the Defenders or the Avengers?
Defenders.
Okay. Because, yeah, I think it's pretty doubtful that he ends up on the Avengers.
Yeah.
But...
No, he'll be on Defenders. But the other show is actually a mid-season replacement on the CW, and that's Riverdale, which is the Archie TV show.
There's actually a third one, actually. But you talk about that, and I'll get to the third one.
Oh, right. I don't count that one because it's not based off of a property. It's based in a universe.
I'll debate that.
We're talking about...
But
yes,
Riverdale. No, no, no. Talking about something else, Stephen. But talk about Riverdale.
Okay, so what am I missing? Okay, we'll talk about Riverdale first. Riverdale, have you folks seen the trailer for this?
No, not yet.
It looks very strange for an Archie show. It's very kind of like Twin Peaks, like small town mystery. Like it deals with like a girl gets murdered, and like like Archie and his friends might have done it. And I'm like, this isn't Archie. This is kind of very dark and mysterious. It's kind of like, you know, like, it's like, it's kind of like Beverly Hills or like Melrose Place, where it's like this, this, you know, a few town and everybody knows everybody and they all harbor like these dark secrets. And like the new girl comes in, and I think it's Veronica or Betty. I always forget who's who. And I'm like, I'll check it out. It seems different because, you know, you can't really do Archie like, gee, guy, you know, 50 stuff. But like, this is a, like, I expected, like, what I expect from a modern Archie is kind of what they do in the Archie comics now. The one that, you know, it's very modern. It's very, the art style been updated to make them like high school students and not like cartoon characters and stuff like that. And that's kind of what I expected, and not like this murder mystery small town Veronica Mars-esque show. But it does seem curious, so. And, you know, it's on the CW. I actually think if they market it well, it's probably gonna do killing. It's gonna do a killing on the CW. It's beautiful teenagers having problems. I mean, if that's not the CW's bread and butter, and it's based off of a comic book, I mean, if they could put a cape on Archie, CW would be in heaven right now. Okay, so what show am I missing?
You're missing Legion.
Oh, right. You see, I don't count that because has it even started production yet?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been trailers and stuff. It's so Legion, yeah. So for people that don't know, Legion is a yeah. So Legion is the son of Charles Xavier, and he has split personalities. He can also warp reality, and I'm very curious. Like, it's on FX, so it's not on basic cable. FX has a pretty good track record, you know, with shows like Fargo, It's Always Sunny, You're the Worst. So
Archer,
yeah. So I'm interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I guess this happened during Comic-Con, and this is what happens when you're in San Diego. Like, this completely flew under my radar for like 2 months. Thank you for drawing attention to it. I didn't even know this started production yet.
You're welcome.
So yes, and as I mentioned before, Power is also debuted at some point on NBC. But that's set in the DC universe, but it's not based off on any existing property or anything like that. I actually think I am in the minority. I actually think that show is going to do well, just because, I mean, it's NBC and it's a workplace comedy. I mean, that's their cash cow. The Office, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, Scrubs, Cheers. You go back, and like, workplace comedies have always been what kind of kept NBC afloat in the comedy department.
It That's seems fair. Like there's been a lot of issues, though, behind the scenes, and that doesn't always mean that there's problems. Usually with comedies, you have that, like, one major person who's in charge, who's, like, you know, with, like, Community, with Dan Harmon, or Parks and Rec in The Office, with those guys. So with the head, you know, creative people leaving and stuff, it's a little worrisome. But who knows?
That's always worrisome when the, you know...
Well, I mean, it depends, because, I mean, I guess it depends on your viewpoint on the show, but like, The Walking Dead has been through, like, 50 showrunners at this point. I don't even know if the people who run The Walking Dead are there from the get-go. Like, I believe the guy who did 5 and 6 was, like, a costume, like, the props, like, head who became the showrunner. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's based on a comic series that has, like, a track record to follow from, and that show's been pretty uneven, so
yeah.
I'm not sure that's the best example, but see your point, though.
But yeah, it's not the best example. It has been uneven, but it's also been uneven in seasons with the same creative talent, so it's not like it's not changing of the guard. It's really just that show's uneven.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should talk about Luke Cage, though. Like, do we think it's gonna be good? Because what did you guys think of the first two? Of Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
And I'm sure we'll do a podcast on this in the future, especially being that there are probably almost a dozen comic book shows that we should talk about. Yep, Daredevil season 1's great. Daredevil season 2's uneven. I'm not a huge fan of Jessica Jones. I acted well enough, but all three shows have had the same problems to me, in that there's not enough meat for 13 episodes. and you start to float around episode 8.
Yeah. Well, I think that they kind of addressed that with Stranger Things, and hopefully that's something they're thinking about, but I agree with you completely.
But Stranger Things was like, hey, we're 8 episodes and we're in and out. And I think I mentioned this during the week because early reviews are out for you, Cage, and the reads like a lot of them are positive, but it's all like it was very positive for Jessica Jones and Daredevil. And Netflix is pretty smart about this because what they do is they send like the first 7 episodes, and they also use some amazing episodes. And then it's like after that episode, it starts to drag because they're like, we know how we're going to begin and we know how we're going to end. Now we just need to find some way to pad it out until then. And that's usually when it starts to drag. Like Jessica Jones, how many times can you have the Purple Man escape?
I think that at least I got the sense that there was sort of this mandate from Netflix that there had to be 13 episodes, and that maybe with Stranger Things that's sort of changing. But who knows? I mean, that might just be a random event, but it seemed to work out pretty well. So hopefully they've learned from that. And Netflix, not necessarily like Marvel, but.
And I also think on our end, my end, I think I might, maybe I won't consume it all in a weekend. I say that, but it's like I watch one episode, I'm like, oh, this is good. I watch the second episode. Next thing you know, 10 hours have passed. We've all been there.
Yeah. And there's FOMO. Definite FOMO with Marvel shows.
FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Yeah, that's definitely... honestly, that's more one of the reasons why I started getting into, like, Daredevil... Well, actually, the main reason was I had just had my wisdom teeth removed and I had nothing else to do. But I did want to watch it because I was afraid that they were going to say something or do something that, was going to be relevant. Same thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Then turns out that was all BS.
I'm not going to insult Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Why not?
I will not let that be. That will be my last stone that I'm defending. Will be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But no, I was gonna say I am curious though, like how much like argue do you get to a point eventually where people accept that it's not necessarily part of the movies, or do you think people still kind of go into these things with that hope? Because there are still people like like that poster that went around a few weeks ago where they said like everybody who's gonna be in Infinity Gauntlet, and it's like everybody who's been in the movies, all the Defenders, people on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. And I'm just like, it's been 5 years. At some point.
Yeah.
You gotta be like...
I hate to discuss this just because I'm like such a... I don't know. I see myself as being a fanboy on this stuff. Like, not that I want to be, but just because I enjoy it. I think it's... That ship has sailed. There's no way that those guys are going to be in the Avengers, and I think it's okay. I mean, if you look at how comic books work, Daredevil's never in the Avengers. I mean, not recently. And, it's a good example. Jessica Jones, it's like not everybody has to be in every story, even when there's crossovers. So... I'd be disappointed if there was no mention in Spider-Man of like something, but I'm not counting on it. And you just have to sort of enjoy them for their own sake, and like their own little universes and hope, maybe sometime they'll cross over like a tiny bit.
Yeah. I like knowing they're connected, but they don't have to show it every time, all the time.
I don't even necessarily think they need to be connected, but that's a story for another day, as we've learned today with the Black Lightning stuff and people reaction to that. Getting back on track to shows for this season, though, here is one that I actually did not think was going to do well, and then I saw the box office return for Bad Moms, so now I'm kind of reinterpreting my opinions of this. American Housewives?
That one looked like it could be interesting.
I mean,
but it's also not like my cup of tea, so.
Oh, no, it's not my cup of tea either. But like, have you seen Bad Moms?
No, I haven't.
And that thing did over 100 million domestic. So there's an audience for that. It's just, again, not us. It's that, you know, like, people always talk about the silent minority, you know, like, when their opinion's being shot out. I'm like, that's not the people on the internet. The people on the internet are always vocal. It's the people, it's like your mom, who you don't know. It's your mom, it's your girlfriend, it's your whatever, who watches this stuff. And I'm not saying that guys can't, but there's an audience for this stuff that I think sometimes people forget, or people, like, you know, like, Sex and the City was a good example. Like, oh, females go to the movie theater. It's like, no duh, they enjoy movies. It's not their fault, like, everything you put out tends to be catered toward dudes.
Yeah, I think that's, we definitely forget about other demographics, and I think...
When I saw that show, I'm like, this is kind of dumb, and now I'm like, okay, it looks dumb because I'm never going to be a housewife. I've never... But there are people who can relate to this, who understand her struggle and what she's going through. And to kind of get the basic premise is, I guess, you know, it's like they move to a new town and she's kind of just like your average housewife who kind of tries to get in with, like, the rich women in the area. And just kind of dealing with that. It also has Diedrich Bader, who's actually really funny. There's also another show, crap, I forget the name of it, that deals with a mom who has, like, an autistic kid, and, like, how, like, their family has to keep on moving around, and they finally get to a town where her kids are, like, you know, like, you spend so much time catering to, like, one kid, you forget that you have two others. And so they decide to kind of make this work, and it's, you know, again, it's one of those stories that, like, I get, and I'm actually all for that show, but I'm like, I feel like there's an audience that is going to speak to much better than it will to me. Because, I mean, you all know my taste in shows. I watch 10 hours of superhero shows a week. That's me. But there's a lot of shows that I can see, like, I understand the audience for, and I get it. It's not for me. That does not mean it's bad. That does not mean it's not worth, you know, pursuing it. I always hate when people are like, I don't like it, it's not for me, this show shouldn't exist, or this movie, this property shouldn't exist because it's not for me.
Yeah. So along those lines, two shows that I think aren't really for us, but I think could do well. One is Good Place. Did you see the trailer for
that? Kristen Bell and Ted Danson, right?
Yeah, so she goes to heaven and she... It was a mix-up. She goes to heaven when she should have gone to hell, and she basically is starting to turn heaven into, like, they're all hoity-toity, like, and she's, like, trying to bring some fun to it. And, you know, it looks okay. It looks cute. It's not really for me, but I could see it doing well. And the other one is Star.
I don't think I know this one.
So Star is from the same people that brought you Empire. So it's on Fox, and it is sort of about this girl who's trying to build her way up into the music industry. She's like an orphan or something. And, you know, it's got this kind of have the similar drama, crazy stuff happening that the other show did. So, you know, it's not really for me either. It's a, you know, female oriented show about R&B and about the music industry, but I don't know, I think it could break out. Called Star.
Star. I'm sure they want that Empire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta say, I have Empire, so Empire is just that show that's like so bananas you gotta watch. Do you have anything else for us, Scott?
No, I think I got my... I really can't think of a show that I think is going to do particularly well. Like, nothing really sort of screams out to me like I'm going to be like a breakout hit.
I am going to just contradict everything I just said about because the show is not for me doesn't mean it shouldn't exist, and I am going to talk about all of CBS's shows in one swing. Because I watched those shows and none of those shows are for me. MacGyver looks awful. When you cast, like, I understand what they're going for, but when you cast a 20-something brand-looking white dude to be kind of cocky, he comes off more of an ass than he does confident. It's just the way it is. And if you've seen the post, it looks like Just Cause 3. A lot of people have compared that.
Isn't it the guy from X-Men Days of Future? From, well, he's in
Angel.
Apocalypse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And first class, yeah.
And he looks like a douche.
Yeah.
I think this show title is very apropos. Kevin can wait, because I'm not going to watch it. Like, I mean, so far I've seen the commercials, and the jokes are he's fat, he eats a lot, and he doesn't do anything. Actually, that reminds me. There's, and CBS has another show like this, I think, with Matt LeBlanc, where there's like two or three shows, comedies about like dad spending time with their kids now, and I'm like, how is that a joke? Why is that a sitcom concept? Like, oh no, dad has to spend time with the kids. I'm like, okay, what's the joke?
Yeah.
The joke is that society still thinks that the dads are the funny parents, yeah.
And I think I honestly think one of the shows is like that. It's like, but I'm the cool guy. Like, I come home and it's yay, daddy's here, because you know mom has to be the bad guy. Mom has to be the disciplinarian and all this other stuff. And I'm like, this is just stupid. It's 2016. This shouldn't be a concept. This shouldn't be a concept for multiple shows in 2016.
No, I don't think it should be a concept for one show. I mean, like, yeah, there are plenty of shows that I've watched where the dad's like just this funny, goofy guy, and like everyone knows that mom's the hard ass. Like, I don't know, Malcolm in the Middle. Like, I've been watching that recently just for, you know, to kill 22 minutes here and there, and I like that show, but I don't think that starting that show in 2016 would make sense, you know, because I watch it and I know it's like, hey, this is from like the 2000s. Like I know that going into it, and it's just different. That sort of show was, you know, maybe it wasn't more okay in air quotes than doing it now, but you know, I don't think that they should start another one where the dad's just a goofball.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty much what Kevin Can Wait is, and the Matt LeBlanc one is called Man with a Fan. There's also one called Pure Genius. It's about I'm not even going to explain it, just it's kind of whatever. The Great Indoors, which is I'm sure everybody's going to know if this is... I'm sure this is going to do well because of the audience it's speaking to, not the audience it's talking about. It's like the millennials versus like baby boomers, so Joe McHale kind of plays like this rugged outdoorsman who has to come indoors and work with the millennial team, like the tech wizards who've never been camping or never been out in nature, and he doesn't know technology and they don't know the wilderness, so they clash, and it's funny and haha. The sad thing is it's wasting such a good cast. You have McGovern in here, Joe McHale, and I watched the trailer and everybody's like a one note character. It's like they have that one note. Like, there's the guy who's, like, secretly gay. you know, there's the guy who can't get a girlfriend. And so, like, okay, that's all they are. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, almost... Okay, I'm not going to say almost. None of CBS's shows interest me. And not Supergirl's not on the network. I honestly don't even know if I'd ever put on CBS. For this season, anyhow.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't realize how bothered I was by the funny, goofy dad thing then, you know, until you started talking about it. And I was like, wait a second, that bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, it has a long history, going back to Married with Children and Homer Simpson.
I mean, it's Homer, it's, you know, it's Peter Griffin. It's still a trope that exists, you know, especially...
Kevin James has a new show fall.
That's what we were talking about. Kevin can wait.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Apparently Dan can wait, too.
I kind of tune out when you go to CBS. I hate CBS.
Most people tune into CBS. That's the sad part. So these shows are probably going to be monster.
Yeah. You said CBS, and we kind of just tuned out a bit. See what I did there?
One more show that I'm interested in that I actually think might do well, but again, it might be a mishmash. It's weird because the CW is going for some high concept shows this year. Tomorrow?
What's that one about?
It stars the guy from Guy Van. I don't know if either one of you watched it. And it's about a guy who finds out that he has a certain amount of days to live. So he just kind of become He's like, it's basically like the bucket list. He's just doing a bunch of crazy stuff with this, like this woman he falls for, and it's just them checking. It's just him trying to get her to open up and do this crazy stuff with him because he has like 6 months to live or whatever. You know, they're gonna find some cure. He's not gonna die or something like that. But yeah, it looks fun.
That would kind of ruin it. I mean, like, not that, like, people dying is good, but, I mean, like, it's a TV show. If they find a cure for it, then, like, it's like that.
I think that's a good concept for a movie, but it's tough for a TV show.
Yeah, it's like the Queen Latifah movie. I forget what it was, but, like...
There's also the Bucket List movie with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw it. Did they find out that they weren't dying or something?
No, they do die.
Well, they were just old, I thought. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, they were old.
I didn't know they were actually dying. I didn't see it. But.
Well, it's like, yeah, it can be like a comedy. Like, everything can, like, all these, like, funny things happen to them. That'd be fun. Like, if he doesn't die at the end, it's like, you know, was it, you know, like, how much debt do you think he's going to be in? Like, you know, he's racking up that credit card debt. Like, you might as well just, you know. Oh, God, what's wrong with me? All right, that's all the thoughts I have on that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly speaking, and I guess I assume you folks are on the same boat. Most of what I'm watching this year is the same stuff I watched last year. Flash, Arrow, Legends, Gotham, iZombie. Like, at this point, I'm like, honestly, most of my TV is like, what can I fit around the comic book shows?
Yeah.
I think things are starting to level off a bit, you know? I don't know, like, much about the history of TV shows, but I wouldn't be too surprised if it sort of, like, had, like, waves where, you know, people were more interested in what's already on, and then, like, down the line, people are more interested in what's coming out. I don't know.
I just think people have no faith.
So.
I think people have no faith in broadcasts, like... Yeah.
There's also that.
I think it's been, you know, it's a generation that has kind of grown up with the idea that like, don't get attached to a show, because once you do, it gets canceled. So a lot of people don't check out shows in their first seasons, which means a lot of shows don't make it beyond their first seasons, which means a lot of people don't check out shows in their first seasons, which means even fewer shows make it beyond their first season.
I call it Firefly Syndrome. People get too attached to a show, and then they don't stop whining about it getting canceled.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, a lot of those shows kind of get an audience after they're canceled. And it's like, why was this show canceled? It's because you're watching it 10 years later.
Exactly. It's like, obviously it wasn't that good if it got canceled, right?
Like I always tell people, and I'm sure people would love this one on my Twitter, because we're about to hit that peak season where I'm posting ratings like every day. These are businesses, not charities. You know, like, there's a lot of shows that survived with the goodwill of fans and the network. Like, you know, one of my personal favorite shows was Chuck. And Chuck had no reason to last in 5 seasons, but it did. And I'm never going to be mad at NBC for canceling it, because Chuck should not have gone beyond like season 1 or 2. But they kept with it. And there's a lot of shows that have kind of done that, where, like, honestly speaking, if I was running ABC, I would have canceled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ages ago. I wouldn't have given Agent Carter a season 2. I would not have given Guy of Venice a season 2. But
yeah.
It's a good thing I'm not running ABC. and then the fact of the matter is, like, even when it's against the best interest of the network, if they cancel a show, fans still turn against them. Like, fans are mad at ABC for canceling Agent Carter or for canceling Guy of Venice. It's like, you folks had 2 years and you just still didn't watch it. I mean, honestly, those shows went down in their second season.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's broadcast television. Like, honestly, like, I wasn't following Agent Carter. I caught up eventually. That's how I did it.
Yeah.
Because I could just watch it whenever I wanted, you know? And like,
That is a fair point. There needs to come a time when... I think networks are going to have to think about the broader picture, like, because a lot of people don't watch shows. Like, you know, nobody wants to be confined to, like, you got to be in front of your TV at 8 and 9. I want to be able to come home at, like, 10:30 and throw in an episode of Agent Carter that I DVR'd.
Exactly. Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
And those numbers are harder to track because advertisers are like, okay, they watched it, but they skipped the commercials. What am I paying you for?
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, like, I can't be with my work schedule confined to, like, you have to come home and you have to watch this at 8 p.m. because I have three different schedules that I could be on any given day. I could get home at 7, I can get home at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, or I can get home at 10:30. Those are the time slots that I can get home at. So, like, I never know which one it's going to be, you know? Well, I do, but, like...
But even beyond that, it's just the fact that, you know, even the fact is that, like what if I want to go out to dinner with friends? Like, I don't want to, like, am I going to have to miss the show? That's not even an issue anymore. Like, the issue is that, like, people are doing that because you can. I can watch, like, sometimes I wake up before work and I'll throw on, like, a half an hour comedy or something and watch while I'm getting dressed. But that doesn't count for the overnights because I didn't watch it at night. But I watched the show within like 12 hours. Or I watched it within the day of it airing or something like that. And it's still, it's, you know. And they account for those numbers, but those numbers aren't accounted for up front. So a lot of shows kind of get, you know, it's this cycle of like, okay, this show's down. When across the board, all shows are down. All networks are kind of down. There's a few outliers. There's The Walking Dead. There's Big Bang Theory. There's Game of Thrones. But for the most part, none of these shows are doing numbers that, like, shows that would have got canceled, like, 10 years ago are doing.
It's also crazy that they're still using the Nielsen system.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very antiquated.
It also samples people that are our age aren't likely to accept a Nielsen box. Yeah. So...
As we saw with the Olympics and them famming their ratings being down on millennials, so...
Right. Like, the fact that they're... Like, they can get accurate numbers of total people watching. They don't need to sample and extrapolate these numbers, especially for online showings and stuff like that, so...
The only thing I would say with that, and because I've seen this happen before, is like some of those numbers can be inflated because you'll have people, like, they'll run scripts. Like, people do this for Netflix and streaming. Like, they'll run scripts, like, okay, so your computer will run Agent Carter for like 24 hours straight, just keep on going episode to episode. I'm like, I understand what you're going for, but then that inflates the numbers, and then it just becomes data they can't use to kind of prove a point.
That's a good point.
With that said, I guess it's almost time to wrap up. So for our first, I guess we'll call it House Special. What's House Special? What do you recommend this week? I am going to recommend Netflix's new animated series, Kubayari's An Army of Frogs. It's an animated series, which I actually watched because it's like, it's frogs fighting, so I just assumed it would be a Ninja Turtles ripoff. But it's actually kind of a pretty high drama animated series set in the Australian Outback. It's about a war between spiders and scorpions. I mean, well, frogs and scorpions, I should say. And it's actually really well done. It's, the animation style is interesting. Like, it's normal hand animation, but what they seem to do, they, in order to, I guess, keep the cost down, they have, like, very few fights, but what they have a very static background. So, like, the backdrops don't really change much, or they're not very animated. You don't really notice it too much, but you can see sometimes where it's just kind of like a flat surface that they're drawn on top of and everything's moving around it. But it's 13 episodes. Huh. It's about 22 minutes an episode. I will say that, kind of like some of the Netflix shows, it starts off really strong. It has like a huge finale around episode 8 or 9, and then it kind of continues. And I thought the continuation wasn't that great, but the stuff, you know, the stuff leading up to it was amazing.
Interesting. I had not heard of it at all.
So. No, I did not. The only reason I heard of it is because I follow Joss Keaton on Twitter, who voices the main character. If you don't know who Joss Keaton is, he's the voice of Spider-Man and Spectacular Spider-Man. He's the voice of Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern CG cartoon, which is why I follow him. He does a voice acting for a ton of stuff. You know, like, there's certain people you just kind of know, and Joss Keaton's kind of become one of those people. Yeah, he's in it. Mark Hamill's in it. Keith David's in it, and I was watching that, and I'm like, why isn't Keith David in more things as a voice actor? He has such an amazing voice.
That's a high praise.
It's really worth checking out. And you know, just to kind of support it, because I don't think, at least for me, Netflix doesn't do a ton of original animation that's kind of aimed at an older demographics. And you know, it's not like a the teenage show, but it's older than like somebody a tween stuff. Like this is probably aimed at boys between like 6 and 12 or something like that, instead of like, you know, 2 to 4 or whatever. So yeah, it's worth checking out. That will do it for this amazingly average show. Next week, next time, which one of you two want to host?
Well, I wanted to see. I wanted to see if Dan would jump on it, but since he didn't, I could host the next one.
I mean, if you yes, okay. I was going to suggest something.
Unless he wants to fight me for it.
So yes, we'll be back next time with Scott hosting. So we'll see what happens when that comes.
So good luck.
So for Scott, the newly minted Dan the First apparently, and myself, this has been an amazingly average show. Have an amazingly average week. That's all, folks.